soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm on February 8th, 2012. I hope over the next period of time in the future to share more that would strengthen those of you that have heard the Lord speaking to your heart, to your life, calling you outside the religious system. That God's been knocking at the door of everyone's heart. The Lord's been pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. God loves people, and He provided Jesus to die for our sins. And Jesus willingly laid down His life for us because He loved us. But corruption is in the world's religious system, in the church world. Corruption. And where God is incorruptible, but the church world has become corrupted by leaven. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So I'm hoping to encourage those of you that are following the Lord, not following man, that are part of the kingdom of God and not a part of church world. There's a difference. And God is wanting to call His people outside the camp to bear the reproach of Jesus Christ in these last days. We're going to be tried by fire, and the Lord is going to be with His people. As darkness and gross darkness comes upon the earth and upon the people that have refused and rebelled against the living God, refused the gospel, refused to believe the Lord, and have turned aside to lies and myths and deceivers and deceptions, loving unrighteousness. God's going to be with His people, and He's going to do signs and wonders and miracles of the Holy Spirit through the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord prepares to come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and taking vengeance on those that have hated Him. And He surely will. But the Lord is going to be with His people. But we have to make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot be men pleasers and be servants of Jesus Christ. It's either or. And so there's many scriptures today. This is a themes for the week audio. And I'm going to share many of the things that have the Lord has been prompting me of recent days. I had a meeting yesterday at a brother's house here. I'm in Bozeman, Montana. And we call it, actually, you know, God has a church in each city, just like we see in the book of Revelation, the seven churches in Asia. You know, there's one church, the body of Christ, but in locales, there is a church. It's not a 501c3. It's not an institution of man. And the head of that church is Jesus Christ Himself. It's not a pastor. It's not a marketing director. It's not a gospel merchant. People love to follow men. People love to have a teacher, and they call him their pastor. But all these things are schismatic. All these things is dividing the body of Christ. And Christ is not divided. So you're going to have to choose. Are you going to be part of the one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism? Or are you going to be part of a schismatic, carnal, religious world? But those of you that are coming outside the camp, God wants to encourage you. We've not gone this way before. We need to know the Lord. We need to know His voice and follow His pattern. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It's in the Psalms. Well, I've been reading Apostle Paul for some time about the exhortations to have sound doctrine, because the times would come when wicked men would creep in secretly, privily, by stealth, with false motives, and they would be wearing sheep's clothing, but they would be ravenous wild wolves seeking whom they may devour, just like their father Satan. And they would bring in damnable heresies that would deny the Lord that had bought them. And they profess that they know the Lord, but by their works they prove they don't know Him. You know, there's a difference. One of the key things I want to talk about is the difference between knowing the Lord and knowing about the Lord. When you know the Lord, you live differently than someone that just knows about the Lord. When you know the Lord, you know his voice, and you're abiding in him, his word is abiding in you, you love him and you love people. God's fruit is bearing forth in your life to the glory of God the Father, just like he wills. And God has ordained the works that you should walk in them, that God would be glorified in everything you do. In this conversation yesterday, there was three men of God and myself and one of the men's wives. And it was awesome as we just shared the scriptures back and forth, and the counsel of the Lord was one of the first things that was talked about yesterday, because I was talking about you're either going to be broken before the Lord or you're going to be broken by the Lord. This is something that God had me write down. And what this man of God was sharing out of Isaiah 66, for this man will I look, one that is broken and contrite, one that trembles at my word. And what God's looking for, he was sharing, is not a bunch of strong men like in the Old Testament, not like a Gideon's army, which are going to do something for God. And he also clarified that by what Jesus said about John the Baptist, that no greater prophet than John the Baptist, but yet in the kingdom of God, he that's least is greater than John the Baptist. And the point was, God's looking for broken men and women, children, that are broken before the Lord. They're tender-hearted. They're not stubborn mules. They're not stubborn, self-centered, self-seeking, and where it's hard for God to prompt them and prod them and move them gently by the Holy Spirit. Now keep in mind, in Romans chapter 8, it says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God has called us to be led by the Spirit. And in these conversations I've had within this true, it's a true meeting. It's a true assembly of righteous men. We are the church. God's called us to be the church, not to go to church. There's a difference. And he wants us to be led by him. He wants us to be directed. Our steps are to be directed by the Lord. Go here, go there, say this, say it this way. Don't say this, don't say that, don't do that. And when we call Jesus Lord, then we do what he says. See, Jesus is a living Lord, where Moses wrote the commandments of God in tablets of stone. And those tablets of stone were broken by men, by all men everywhere. But the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And God now has replaced Moses as the lawgiver. And Moses himself prophesied this in Deuteronomy chapter 18 about the prophet that would come from amongst the people of God. And that was a prophecy of Jesus, because Jesus is that prophet. He is that apostle. He is that shepherd teacher. He is that evangelist. And when Christ ascended, he gave gifts to men. And these spiritual gifts are manifesting today in faithful men of God. And we have the gospel of God, which is not the words of man, according to Galatians, but is very words of God. So I had a wonderful time in sharing yesterday with these men of God and the council. I was sitting there thinking, Lord, I want to be led by you for sure. I don't want to be stubborn in my thinking. And the brother shared about how there are those that are sensual and they have not the Spirit. And they actually oppose those that are led by the Spirit. They're anti-Christ. They're in the sense that they're anti-anointing. They're anti-presence of God. It's flesh. And the flesh and the Spirit are not the same. What is flesh is flesh. What is Spirit. And God's calling us not to be driven by flesh, but the flesh is to be crucified. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the lusts and passions thereof. The church world is full of flesh. It's driven by fleshly, carnal, worldly methods of the world. We have so-called pastors and leaders, elders, that sit as kings on a throne. They call it the stage. What do you expect? But it's a big religious act. And God's not entertained by it. And those of you that are coming outside the religious system, we just shake the dust off our feet. And the Lord is just displeased. He's knocking at the door. And if any man hear his voice, he'll come in. The question is, to all the churchgoers, to all the pew sitters, to all the people in church land, church world, institutional religion, who is it that bought you? It's Jesus. Who is it you're to follow? Who's to be your Lord but Jesus? When you follow man, you cannot be a servant of the Lord and be a follower of man. And if you're sitting under a teacher, according to Paul, you're unskilled in the word of righteousness. You're a babe. You're on milk. And God hasn't called you to remain on milk. Now, there's people that are infantile, and they've been going to church for 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 years or more, and they've never grown in their relationship with the Lord. They're not led by the Spirit of God. And there's people today that are actually saying that God doesn't speak today, which is a horrible thing to say. God commanded us to hear his voice and live. God does speak. He's not dead. He doesn't speak contrary to the scripture. It's in harmony with the word of God, the scripture that's written. But God does speak to his children. His sheep know my voice. John chapter 10. I had a wonderful time. So I'm encouraging you to start looking to the Lord to lead you to meet with godly men of like faith, like spirit, like mind. And have fellowship, and not, don't be sitting in a corrupt religious system. Don't be sitting amongst leaven, and where people are taking the word of God and taking it to a tangent, to the left or to the right, adding and subtracting. You know, one of the things I wrote down over the last week is that God puts his word in our mouth. We're not to put our words in his mouth. Selah. Other things that we talked about yesterday, that major exhortation about people that are sensual. It's a dynamic of the natural. They separate themselves from those that are spiritual. They come out and they're going to do their own thing, and they're going to make a name for themselves, and they're going to make an institution, and they're going to create a religious franchise where they profit, just like a hamburger stand, just like a hamburger company or chicken. They prove they're not of God because they go out from us. They go out from the true people that are fearing the Lord, loving the Lord, seeking the Lord, wanting to be careful in his presence, relying on the Lord. They seek their own thing. They elevate themselves. They make themselves something instead of lifting the Lord and humbling themselves to serve others in Jesus' name. As this is the example of Jesus. Jesus himself was a servant to the Father. Not his own will, but the will of the Father. And he was obedient to the point of death. Therefore, God has given Jesus the name above every name. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But if we're following Jesus, we're going to be humble, obedient servants to the Father, and we're going to bless people. Humble, not preferring others above ourselves, not elevating. And one of the councils that we were discussing is how in the religious system they use titles, which Jesus condemned in Matthew 23. Call no man rabbi, rabbi. Call no man your father, my father. For you have one Lord, one Lord, and that's Jesus Christ. He's your teacher. He's your shepherd. He's your rabbi. But we're not to do that. That whole dynamic of elevating yourself, calling yourself a title, is wrong. Using the titles, these positions, glorying those things, actually divides, and it creates a mediatorship between God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It creates a buffer. It creates a false mediatorship. It creates a priestly class, where people go to their pastor rather than to the Lord. They listen to everything the pastor says instead of listening to everything the Lord says. They don't study the scripture. And this is why what Paul said, when you sit under teachers, you're a babe. You're never going to grow up. And people use teachers. They choose men because they like their appearance. They like their persona. They like their style. They think about the side benefits. This is all sensual. This is all worldly. You know, the business, you know, I'm gonna hold someone in esteem because of the advantage that I get out of that. It's wrong. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Don't allow yourself to have a mediator between you and the Lord. So God's not looking for mighty men doing something for God. God's looking for people that are broken before him, that can be humble and meek and do justly and serve him, be led. They're being moved by the Spirit of God. They're gentle. By the gentle moving of the Lord, they're not hard-headed, going to do their own thing, going to figure it all out and rationalize it. And I must admit, that's one thing I need to be careful of. And I deeply confess, I sincerely desire to be led by the Spirit of God and bring blessing and bring pleasure to the Heavenly Father, and not an offense, because the flesh is a total offense to God in its ways. God's not even, can't even communicate with you because you're in a totally different world. We must crucify the flesh and come into Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself must be our life. So this whole way the church world is governed today, so foreign from the Lord, so opposite what Jesus said. He said, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. Yet we have these iconic pedestal preachers with celebrityism. And it's a dead giveaway what manner they are. They're sensual and they'll pull away. They hate the anointing. They may talk about the anointing, but they hate the anointing. They hate the moving of the Spirit of God. They quench the Spirit. They grieve the Spirit. Another thing we were talking about was how people that are of God will listen to God's word, but they that are not of God will not hear God's word. They are not receptive to the word of God. They're going to go ask their pastor, is this true or not true? Instead of themselves knowing the truth by studying the scripture and through the Holy Spirit, they're going to channel everything to their tangible flesh man pastor. That's completely wrong. A sin before the Lord. If he doesn't approve it, then it can't be the truth. So they're proving that they're not really even children of God. They're not even of the kingdom of God. Paul was talking about this when he was very concerned. He labored in love in the harvest field with the gospel. He's desiring that people would be have Christ brought forth in their life. He'd travail. And he was a broken man. He was a transparent man. He didn't use his authority to browbeat people, but he was truly a father. You know, he says that there's thousands of teachers, but few fathers. And Paul was talking about there's a people that were following Apollos, people that were following Cephas, Peter, people that were following him. And he goes, don't do that. Christ isn't divided. So you got to know that. You know, people say they're Lutheran or they're Pentecostal or they're this or that. But all that is not in the kingdom of God. So we need to update our thinking, change our thinking, repent of our wrong thinking, and put away these things that are foreign to the kingdom of God. This is talking about how I had been reading from a Galatians chapter 1, where Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that has called you to grace. That's in Jesus Christ. And that word moved, it's very similar to a metastasize, when a disease transfers from one organ to another. It's a very negative thing. But when you receive a false gospel or another Jesus or another spirit, you're removed from the Father. Did you know that? Verse 6 of Galatians 1, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I call them gospel perverts. You know, again, when you know the Lord, that really does trouble you. It bothers you when people come and say, did God say? That's God said. You know, as the emergent church movement is questioning the scripture, well, they don't believe that the word of God is the word of God. They believe it was written by men. But we're going to find out here where the gospel comes from by just reading this letter to the Galatians. But it does trouble. It's troubling when people are following another gospel. You don't even hear about Jesus giving up his own life for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. How he was buried for 3 days, according to the scripture, and he was raised again from the dead, according to scripture, and seen by over 500 people. That's in 1 Corinthians 15, containing the true gospel. Now listen to what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 1. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. He's going to state this twice. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Brother last night was sharing, very few go there. Let him be accursed. Anathema. Cut off. If you really look at that word, you know, that he not produce after his own kind, that he not infect others in the gospel in the harvest field of the earth that's ripe for harvest. We're cutting him off from the land of the living. It's very serious. That's how Paul viewed it. How do you view it? How do you view others that are preaching another gospel, a seed gospel, or a gospel that man is really a god, a divinity, a divine one, or Christ? How do you feel about that? Does it trouble you? Are you okay with it? Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. There you go. It's one or the other. And I dare say that in church land, they're seeking to please men. It's all about men, what men think. It's what the Pharisees were like. They didn't care about the truth. They didn't care about whom the Father had sent. Ah. They had their business. They had their scheme going. They hate the anointing. They're antichrist. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who taught Paul? Where did he get the gospel? Where should we get the gospel? Where should we get our understanding? Comes from God. Unless it come from above, you cannot receive it. Comes from God. You can't reason people into the eternal kingdom of God, folks. Yes, we should study the word of God. So we must sanctify the Lord in our hearts that we may be able to answer every man for the reason of hope that lies within us with meekness and respect. But it has to come from the Lord. It's not a mental, fleshly, heavy thing. It's spirit. And then he says, for you have heard of my conduct in times past in the Jews' religion. I thought that was really interesting. You know, Judaism is a religion. It's not the gospel. It's not the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a form of religion that stemmed out of time in Babylon after the exile. It was a religion that denied the Lord. And it added to the Word of God. It had subtracted from the Word of God. And the people, when they should have recognized the coming of Jesus Christ, when Jesus came to his own and his own received him not, they wanted to murder the just one. They conspired how to destroy him. That was the fruit of the Jewish religion. But God is going to have a remnant out of Israel, out of the Jews, that will have faith. They'll have repentance and faith and believe on the Messiah. Praise God. So this whole text about Galatians, when you see how Paul feels, how a true believer should feel about false gospels, other Jesus, and why is it the iconic celebrity preachers like James Robinson, the other famous people like Billy Graham. It's very common. It's been going on for decades. How do they bless people that preach another gospel, like the Catholics? The Catholics preach you're saved by works. You're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. It's exactly opposite. How can you say, as James Robinson said, that Catholics were Christians, that when he saw a Catholic priest that was on his set, television program, you know, it's called programming for a reason, he said that he saw Jesus and he heard Jesus when the man preaches a false gospel? How can that be? Because he's sensual. He hates the anointing. He's not led by the Spirit of God. That's why. Another point that I wrote down in my themes for the week was how the Lord has enemies. He has adversaries, people that hate him. And that is so bizarre to me, and it grieves me. It really bothers me that people hate God, because God is so good, so loving, truthful, helpful. There's so many wonderful things about God, the Father, how he loves us. He provided his son Jesus, how he's patient and kind, slow to wrath, of great mercy. But yet he has enemies. And I don't believe most people would admit that they hate God or they hate Jesus. But they do. They prove that by their conduct. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, it's the most powerful chapter of the declaration of God, what he's saying. In Deuteronomy 32, 39 and following. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I sharpen my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies, and I will reward them that hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh. And that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. This is why people are in the multitude of the people are in the valley of decision. Are you going to be broken before the Lord, or are you going to be broken by the Lord? Are you going to drink of the cup of the mercy of the Lord, or are you going to drink the cup of his wrath? The wrath of God is upon those that refuse to believe from their heart. But God has enemies. Other texts that talk about his enemies. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 2, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. But God has enemies, adversaries, people that hate him. And then they hate his children. Just like Cain hated Abel. Cain was a rebel, going to do his own thing, going to produce out of the earth. Was wondering why wasn't God happy with him. So what God ordained. Abel was providing a sacrifice before the Lord that he was pleased with. Cain, not so. And Cain slew his brother. This is 1 John 3, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Look, the world, the spirit of Cain, hates Abel. Hates those that are following God. Why? Because they themselves are wicked. Doesn't make any sense. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Cain hates Abel. See it all the time. Jesus said, world hates me because I testify that the deeds thereof are evil. I'll read this text in John 7, verse 7. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the deep works thereof are evil. See, this is where Jesus is coming from. He's going to tell it like it is. He's going to tell the truth. And Jesus isn't seeking to make friends with the world. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. You need to read that in James 4, 4. Don't you know, you adulteresses and adulterers, that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So the church world wants to be in harmony with the world. There is no salt. There's no savor. There's no light. They're just like the world. They're just as much fornicating. They're just as much in pornography. They're just as much as seditious and divisions and emulations and wrath and strivings and anger and clamor, malice. All these things are of the flesh. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. There's only one place for those three sins, and that's on the cross. Crucify them. Crucify them. In 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Praise the Lord. I pray this blesses you today.